John 3:16 was a flamboyant character. His original name was John Cook, but changed it to John 3:16 when he became an evangelist. He was a former convict who had become a Christian and decided to work with alcoholics, addicts, and other ex-convicts in Christian mission work. He changed his name then to John 3:16, he told the newspaper, because everyone knows what John 3:16 is and what it means, and he made it the motto for his life's work. I'm not sure that everyone knows John 3:16, but it is perhaps one of the more well-known verses of all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. It is a verse that gets recited often, memorized at Sunday schools, spray-painted on concrete walls, held up on placards at public events. But many of us don't really know the context of this text or some of the nuances inherent in it. This verse comes out of the mouth of Jesus as part of his conversation with Nicodemus. You might remember Nicodemus. If you pull out your Bible later, you can read the whole chapter 3 of John and hear about him. He was a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night because he was curious. Nicodemus knew that most of his fellow Pharisees were very suspicious of Jesus. So Nicodemus comes to him by night, intrigued by Jesus, but yet a little cautious. But he wants to find out more. How many of us may find ourselves drawn to Jesus, but perhaps a little cautious as well? What if Jesus calls me to do something I'm not quite prepared for? What if I become one of those super Christians? So it was with Nicodemus. And Jesus welcomes Nicodemus, but also challenges him. He tells him that he must be born anew, that he must allow the Spirit to enter his life and renew him. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus that there are also heavenly things to be understood, and these heavenly things are of God, what God is doing for him and for the world. And then Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." Sometimes it is in going back to the original Greek that light is shed on a passage, and the depth of meaning can sometimes be lost in translation. There are a few words in this short verse that I believe we can understand better when we look at the original text. The first is the word gave, as in God gave his only Son. The Greek word here, didomai, does mean give in the same sense of our English word to give, as when we give a gift or give of ourselves. But the interesting thing about this word is that everywhere else in John's Gospel, whenever there is reference to the acts of God in relation to Jesus and to the world, the verb that is used is not give, but is apostello, or sent. God sending or God giving. Clearly, Jesus is emphasizing here that the Son of Man is a gift to us and to the world, as opposed to elsewhere in the Gospel where it's referred to Jesus being sent on a mission, being sent to do a task. So Jesus is God's gift to us. The idea that God gives us his Son in order that we might be saved through him emphasizes that God always takes the initiative with us. God has been longing for us long before we felt the inclination to turn to God. Frederick Buechner once wrote that God speaks to him most clearly through God's absence. So that we first come to know God by our longing for God. And St. Augustine wrote a prayer, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." I believe that God plants those seeds of longing in our hearts that compel us to seek God, to be in relationship with the one who has created us, who formed us in our mother's womb, who calls us by name and loves us more than we can imagine. Nicodemus felt the stirrings of that longing, enough to seek Jesus out. He sensed something about this Jesus, something that might bring him closer to God. Another word in this text that is of interest is the word world. God so loved the world. Except that in the Greek, the word that is used is not actually world, but cosmos. And of course, the English is the same. For God so loved the cosmos, the universe. God's love goes infinitely beyond ourselves and our world. This is comforting to know that God's love is so expansive. To Nicodemus and to other Jews, however, this would have been startling news. The Jews had seen themselves as God's chosen people from the time of Abraham. God had blessed the people of Israel with a special purpose in the world. But now we encounter a God whose attention includes the Jews and also Gentiles and also the whole world and also the whole cosmos. This is a much bigger, wider, and more inclusive God. Jesus goes on to say that whoever believes in him, in this Son that the Father has given, will not perish. Once again, the Greek word to believe sheds some light on those who live in the 21st century. Since the time of the Enlightenment of the 18th and 19th centuries, we have taken the word believe to mean something that we do with our heads, that it is a mental assent, agreement to specific statements that we decide to be true, generally because they are based on evidence we have seen. We believe, we think, means to accept on a rational and intellectual level that this is the case, that God exists, that Jesus is God's Son who came to be the Savior of the world. The Greek word to believe actually means much more than that. The word is pisteuo, which can be translated as to set one's heart upon. Belief in this sense is more like our word trust. It is more an action of the heart than of the head. To trust in Jesus. To trust that God gave God's Son to us to redeem us. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that everyone who trusts in him will not perish. Nicodemus was invited, as we all are invited today, to imagine a God infinitely bigger than we might have previously conceived. A God who takes the initiative, who reaches out towards us, who gives us Jesus, and asks us to respond to that invitation to trust in the God who has already loved us. As we continue on our journey through Lent, we are invited to pay attention to the ways that we may have wandered. How might we be distancing ourselves from God? How have we messed up? How have we failed to love others? And how have we failed to love ourselves? But this is a time also in which we are invited to hear God's invitation, that God invites us through our longings, in the midst of the messiness of our own lives, and even in our darker moments. God invites us to trust that Jesus is given to us, that we might find our way back to God and towards a life full of abundance. As I was researching this text for today's sermon, I came across the story that I want to share with you. A woman walked into a dark sanctuary alone. The torrential rains and the blackness of the skies outside darkened the sanctuary even more. Normally, light would shine through the stained glass windows and cast colors on the pews and the altar and the cross. But there was no light this day. She had grown accustomed to this. For 3 days, there had been hard, steady rains and dark, dark skies. Why she walked into the sanctuary that afternoon, she didn't really know. And she simply sat there in the darkness, the only sound, the creak of the pew. She sat with no particular expectations of God or of herself. She just sat there in that great darkness and great silence. Finally, putting her head on the pew in front of her, she simply whispered, "Help me, God, if you are there." After a few moments, her head raised to see a very specific, gentle beam of light in the darkness, coming from the empty tomb of the stained glass window above and falling directly on the cross in front of her. Strangely, yet not unwelcomed, she was wrapped in a feeling of peace that she couldn't quite understand. Her only thoughts were that finally, finally, the horrible weather was coming to an end. The sun must be finding its way from beyond those dark clouds. Eventually, she left the church, only to find that there had actually been no change in the weather. The clouds were still as black as they had been for 3 days. The rain was still pouring out of the dark skies, saturating the ground. But she continued to be wrapped in this sense of peace and continued to wonder. A few days later, she found herself knocking on her priest's door. Her pastor told her that her story reminded him of a Nicodemus. And he said to her, "You know, Nicodemus also searched for Jesus alone in the dark and met him. He heard words of grace and rebirth. He heard words of darkness and light. He heard about how God's love was so immense, and he heard an invitation to trust." And so for us all today, God gives us gifts beyond our imagining. God gives us the gift of Jesus. And we are invited to trust that we can open our hearts and receive Jesus. We can follow him, and in so doing, find abundant life. Amen.